Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
So good to see you guys this morning. We're starting a brand new series. Does anybody know what it's called? Overcoming Challenges. There are so many challenges in this life. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. We just got to go through it, bear it, struggle with it. But I believe the Bible has answers to challenges in life. So, you know, last time we talked about the challenge of the storm. And there was a great practical acronym in there to help you face the storm. And if you weren't here last week, go to the City Light website or look at your City Light app and go through that message. And it's a very practical, powerful acronym. So we want to give you practical things to help you in your faith walk. Amen? Let's pray and we ask God's blessing on this word today. Father, I thank you for every person gathered here this morning. Everyone so special to you. Everyone so unique. Not another one like you. And God, there's no one like you who created us. You're God that wants to speak to us, encourage us, minister to us, give us answers and solutions to problems that we have on this earth. I pray that you take this word of God, you make it very practical so that we understand it, we believe it, we receive it, and we're able to practically live it out. So it greatly blesses us and it glorifies you. In Jesus' name, let your word have that power today. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. We'll talk about overcoming challenges. You know, I love the word of God. I love the Bible because it does have answers to every single challenge and struggle in life that we're going to experience. And I love the Bible because it has the power and ability to address this, what can be a very powerful force or influence in our life called, next slide, stress. Stress. Who in this room has never experienced stress? Good. There's not a liar in this room. Every single one of us have experienced stress. Now, there have been studies done on stress. Physicians talk about it. There are talk shows you can watch on TV. There are books written about it. Medical people will tell you, in general, that stress is very harmful. Stress is harmful. It can make you sick. It can cause heart disease. It can make you age faster. And so their advice is, generally, is this. Get more rest. Work less. Get exercise, which is a good idea. Create more boundaries around you. Say no to opportunities. Get less busy. Get less involved. So their goal is to try to get rid of stress totally if you can. So what happens is this tension that develops between trying to live this no stress, less busy, less involved life, and what the Bible sees our life is to be about. See, the Bible teaches us that we are put on this earth to have a purpose, to have passion, to have a vision for our life, not to be sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting time, right? I'm not going to sing that, no. Or sitting on a quiet hillside, just vegetating away. See, the Bible tells us we are to live life with passion. We are to enjoy this life that God has given to us. So we have to relook again about how do we deal with stress? How do we deal with stress? So that's what I'm going to talk about today. First thing we need to realize, point number one, there's no such thing as a no-stress life. Do you agree with that? Don't even assume it's possible. And if you try to live a stress-free life, you will really get stressed out. Right? Jesus said in John's Gospel 16:33, he said, here on earth, you will have many trials and troubles. So, wherever there is trials and troubles and sorrows, there's a great potential for stress, isn't there? And if you read the Scripture is full of people who experienced stress. You know, think about it. Even Jesus experienced stress, didn't he? Jesus knew at a very early age that he had a huge purpose to live out in his life here on earth, didn't he? He knew he was destined for the cross. And so he lived with that tension, with that stress within his heart, didn't he? You look at David, when he was, King David, when he was 17 years old, he finds himself on a hillside facing an incredible giant of a man who was a warrior, experienced in warfare, never lost a battle. And he's never had battle training. And he's standing there, and he's got to fight this guy named Goliath. Do you think he felt stress? I think so. In fact, you study the life of David. He had stress all his life. He had stress when he was running from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. He had stress with his managing his family. He had a very dysfunctional family. He was stressed out by one of his sons who was trying to take the kingdom away from him. David was stressed out a lot. He experienced stress. You think about Daniel. Daniel, in the book of Daniel. Daniel faced stress as a young Christian and living and leading in a very pagan culture, didn't he? And you know, the list goes on and on. You know, but I want to say this, that not all stress is bad. Not all stress is bad. There's some stress that we need to embrace. There's some stress that we actually need to run to. You know, before I was a pastor, I worked as a sales rep for a television company here in town. And I was selling television commercial time, spaces. And I remember my boss, my supervisor, the sales manager, coming to me one day and saying, Doug, you work best with some stress. You work best when you're stressed. In other words, he was saying, you work best when you're busy. See, along with busyness, along with productivity, along with achievement, along with sales, along with rewards, comes stress. Now, do we want those things? Do we want sales, success, fulfillment? Do we want those things in life? Yes. But along with the territory comes a measure of stress, doesn't it? Doesn't it? See, there's some stress that we need to embrace. And yes, there is some stress that we need to escape from. And we don't have to talk, we're not going to talk so much about that, maybe in another message. But today what we want to do, our goal today is to remind us that there are Bible ways to deal with stress in our life. So number one, there's no such thing as a stress-free life. Number two, stress is just part of living a significant life. Question, what's significant in your life? Is your marriage significant? Are your kids significant? Is the home that you live in significant? Is your job significant? Is church significant to you? See, with anything that's significant, anything that's meaningful, is going to have a level of stress attached to it, right? You know, and higher levels of stress go along with things, right, that we want in life, right? Like love and health and satisfaction in our life. And as long as you have things like a family, a job, traffic, right? Family, friends, you're going to have stress, right? So, no such thing as stress. Stress is just a part of living a significant life. Number three, stress is not the enemy. Stress is not the enemy. Stress is not the bad guy sitting in the corner of your psyche, in your mind, smirking. Yeah, I'm just wrecking his life. I'm just wrecking. You know who the real bad guy, who the real enemy is? It's on your PowerPoint. The enemy are the wrong thoughts and the attitudes that we have when we experience stressful situations. Next point, it's not the circumstances that cause our stress. It's our what? It's our reaction to the circumstances. It's what I feel, it's what I think when I'm experiencing stress. So what have we got to our goal has to be to replace these mind monsters, these stressful negative thoughts with thoughts of courage, with thoughts of confidence, with thoughts of certainty that God is with us, that He's helping us, and that He understands what's happening to us. That's what we have to do. You know, and if you look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, it's known to be the chapter of perhaps is known as Jesus' greatest sermon. What's it called? The Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. And we say this is Jesus' greatest sermon. He addresses one of the greatest problems that we could have today. Today it's called dealing with stress. You know, the Bible doesn't use that word stress so much, but it uses other words like worry and anxiety and fear, right? Those type of words. And that the Bible's talking about stress. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 25. Jesus says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can you see what Jesus is doing here? He is lifting, He is displacing their thoughts of worry and fear, and He's replacing them with thoughts about God, about how He loves you, how He cares for you, how He will supply for you, provide for you, how He will protect you. He's displacing the negative thoughts with the right thoughts, with God thoughts, to how much God loves you. In verse 30, Jesus says, and if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Amen? Then He adds this question at the end of that statement. Why do you have so little faith? You know why? Because you have so much worry. When worry is up, faith goes down, right? When you start to build your faith, worry goes down. You can't have both up there high at the same time, can you? Right? Mark Battison is a great young Christian author, pastor, and he wrote a book called Primal Christianity, and actually we're studying it in a video series right now in our men's group. And it's all about getting back to the heart of what the Christian faith is all about. And he says, in this series, he says that the problem with most of us, that we have a failure of imagination. We have a failure of imagination. And then he says, lack of faith is the inability or the unwillingness to entertain thoughts of a God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask for or imagine. God wants us to imagine Him doing good things for us in the middle of the storm and in the middle of the stress and that negative situation, right? This series is all about getting back to the greatest commandment, which is to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And he says in that series, to love God with all your mind literally means managing your mind. It means loving God logically, creatively, seriously, humorously, intensely, thoughtfully. Thoughtfully. Stress involves two things: thoughts and feelings. Right? Thoughts and feelings. Stress are the feelings, the negative feelings that we feel. Stress is feelings. Feelings usually follow thoughts. Thoughts that have originated in our minds. Very simple. There's nothing really deep about that. But feelings are attached to thoughts. If you have wrong thoughts, you're going to have what? Wrong feelings. And if you're somebody who's always living out of your thoughts, your feelings are always following your wrong thoughts, you're going to live a very high level of stress, aren't you? Here's what Jesus said. Well, I've got to give you this quote here. I love what William James says. The greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another. See, the key here to deal with stress is to get the right thought into your mind. Philippians 4 verse 8. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Think about those things. When you meditate on God's thoughts, on God's truths, on God's promises, and when you get them into your mind and into your heart so that to the point that they start coming out of your mouth and you start declaring right thoughts, truths, promises, guess what happens? Worry goes down, doesn't it? Such a simple principle, but so powerful. Matthew 6:31, Jesus says, so don't worry about these things saying. I just put that emphasis. Don't worry about these things saying. What will we eat? What are we going to do? We're done. We're finished. We're gonna go bankrupt. You know, I'm going to lose everything I've got. I'm going to lose my mind. He said, don't say those types of things, right? Don't say those things. What are we going to do? He says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. What Jesus is saying is you got to get your mind right and you got to get your mouth right. Speaking the truths of God rather than complaining and mourning and words of self-pity. Let's get our mind right on the thoughts of God. Let's get our mouths confessing the truths and the promises and the intentions of God towards us. Amen? Such a simple but very powerful principle. And then here's the next point, point number four. This is basically right out of the book called Mind Monsters and by Kevin Gerald. This is a tremendous book. I think somebody, Russell, bought this book. I think it's very helpful, but this is a tremendous book on how to deal with those negative thoughts. You know, and I'm really getting a lot out of this little simple book. But it's powerful. It's very practical. Great book. I really encourage you to get that book. Point number four. Mind management is the key to dealing with stress. Managing stress is about managing our minds. There was a study done recently, and it included and involved 30,000 people. Not 300 people, not 3,000 people, 30,000 people were involved in a study, and they were analyzed. They analyzed their thoughts, their attitudes, they analyzed their activities. And they simply asked them this question: do you believe that stress is harmful to your life? And they tracked the lives of these people. Some people answered, we think it's very, very harmful. Other people said, no, we don't think it's that harmful. So they tracked the lives of 30,000 people over 8 years, and they also tracked the death records of the people who had died within this 8-year period. And what they found in this study was that high levels of stress increased the risk of dying by 43%. Wow. But that increase only applied to those who believed that stress would harm their health. I'm just going to quote you out of this article, the ironic outcome. People who died from stress died not from the stress, but from the belief that stress was bad for them. Those who didn't believe it was harmful experienced no negative effects on their health. Wow. See, why? Because they had a different approach to life. They thought differently than those people who feared that stress was going to kill them. I'll just bring up this picture. Does anybody recognize this girl? This girl, her name is Bobby, and she works at Costco in the eye department. And last week, I broke my glasses, and I crazy glued them. And so I went to get new glasses at Costco. And Bobby was there, and there were several clerks around. There was like three of them. And all of a sudden, the manager had to leave. There was four of them in the center counter, and the manager had to leave. And the one guy said, I've had it, or something happened, and he took off. And the other one said, my time's up, I'm going. And Bobby was there all by herself. And here we are, all the customers, and I'm standing there, and there's customers. Basically, there must have been like 6-7 customers waiting, and the phone rings, and Bobby's looking around, and there's nobody there besides her. And the phone rings, and she's talking on the phone, and all these customers are looking at her, and they look stressed out, and they want service, and they're getting really impatient, and they're getting ticked off. And here's Bobby, she's on the phone, she hangs up the phone, and she says, okay, who's next? I'm sorry, there's usually four of us here, but obviously, you know, something's happened, but don't worry, they're going to come back, and we're going to do the best to serve you. Thank you for being so patient. That's basically what she said. And he said, okay, who's next? And there was a lady in front of me, and she handled her in about 2 or 3 minutes, and then it was my turn. And she says, come over here, and I sat down, and I picked out some glasses, and she was writing down prescription. She was getting the order already. I said, man, you are amazingly calm in this very stressful situation. Well, she says, you know, what else can I do? She said, I'm not going to lose it. I'm doing the best that I can. I thought, wow, this is an incredible lady. She didn't have a meltdown. She didn't lose it. She just remained just so calm. And she didn't rush through my appointment. She was very nice, very, very polite. I said, you just did an amazing job with all these people. And I could feel some stares at me like, get out of there so I can, you know, it's my turn. You know, so I went back and said, Bobby, you're amazing. So I took a photograph of her yesterday and said, you're an example of someone who has a different approach to dealing with stress. See, it's not the circumstances that bring us stress. It's our reaction to the circumstances. Amen? The conclusion of the study, it's not the stress alone that kills people. It's how you think when you face a stressful situation. Amen? So we've got to realize that the power of dealing stress has to do with our mind. So we've got to go right back to the Creator. We've got to go back to God's Word. So let's look at just a few scriptures here. Ephesians 4:23. And be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished, mental, and spiritual attitude. You know, you heard that term, the word washes? The word can wash your mind. It can wash away fear and negativity. It can literally cause your mind to be fresh, untarnished, with a good spiritual and mental attitude, continually, constantly being renewed by meditating God's word. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is, committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. 1 Thessalonians 3:7. Paul says to the Thessalonians, for this reason, in spite of all our stress and crushing difficulties, Paul is saying, despite all the negative stuff that's happening around us, all that's outside us, yet inside, we have been filled with comfort and cheer about you because of your faith, the leaning of your whole personality on God in complete, what? Trust and confidence. Trust and confidence. Trust, number five, trust is an antidote to stress. Trust is an antidote to stress. Being fully confident in the character of God, that God is with me, that I'm not overwhelmed, right? Now, you say, well, that's good, Pastor Doug, you can see all those things. But when I'm going through stress, it's not that easy. I want to tell you, I know how hard it is. I know that sometimes real life is hard and real life is stressful, right? I believe that. I know that. But even for me as a pastor, I'm finding my faith in the middle of the storm. I'm finding my stress, my faith in the middle of my stress, right? I'm focusing on the positive. I'm affirming myself that I'm a child of God. If God is for me, who can be against me? I'm imagining God doing something really good for me, in my situation. I'm trusting God in everything, in every situation. And I'm hoping for the absolute best, not the worst. Amen? I'm finding faith in the middle of my stress. Right? I am not in danger. I am secure. I have the peace of God. And if plan A isn't working out, then God has something better for me. Amen? Amen. I'm trusting in God. My faith is in God. My hope is in God. Right? He's my provider, protector. He's my everything. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. I love the Message version. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. I've experienced that. It's real. It does work. Right? It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Have you experienced that? I've experienced that prayer. I shared last week, I went through some of the toughest times in my life, and I was just ready to throw in the towel. And I started declaring my faith in God, you know, and focusing on God and focusing on the positive and knowing that God was going to bring me out of this and bring us out of this into a glorious place where, you know, it was better than I thought it could be. You know, it's amazing. The Bible works. God's word works. God has answers. We just need to believe it and implement them in our lives. Right, amen? It's amazing. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Yeah, man, you can read all kinds of books. You can get all kinds of advice on stress. But Christ is our ultimate hope, isn't he? Christ is our ultimate hope. When Jesus is at the center of our life, our entire perspective changes, doesn't it? It just sort of changes, right? You know, in the midst, you can have confidence in Christ even in times of great uncertainty, right? In the midst of your crisis, your hard times, your trials, you can have the peace of God because He is the God of peace. Amen. I give you a bit of my spit there too. It's so real, isn't it? Because we serve the God of peace. Verse 8 and 9 of Philippians 4 says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Then he says, put into practice what you have learned from me, what you have heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. You'll just find yourself that incredible place of peace and connection and harmony with God. You know, there's this guy, I'll finish up with this. There's a guy in the Bible, and his name is Job. Have you heard of Job? The Old Testament? And if there's ever anyone in the Bible who experienced trials and troubles and hard times and disappointments and stress, it was this guy named Job. If you read his story, what's happening to you will seem like a drop in a bucket compared to what happened to him. Devastation, lost his family. I mean, just event after event. Even his health was threatened. And, you know, he had everything going against him. Every single circumstance in life seemed to be going against him. Plus, he had this wife. Boy, I sure appreciate a good wife. If I was Job, I would have slapped her and said, God, take her too. I better watch it. Maybe she was better than I thought. But Job's wife would say stuff to him like, God doesn't care about you. If God is so good, then why are all these happening to you? God's doesn't even know what's happening to you. You know? And on and on, blah, 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 blah. Right? Do you hear those voices? Maybe it's not Job's wife, but it's the enemy speaking to you. It's not going to work out. You're going to fall. It's not going to make it. Life is going to be terrible from you from this point on. You're going to have disappointments. You're going to have failures. You know, there's nothing left for you to live for. Do you ever have those thoughts? Yeah, I think we all do. Sometimes somebody said we have more conversations with the devil than we have with God. We agree with those voices, right? It's time to start engaging those arguments by taking captive those thoughts and make it obedient to Christ and His Word. Amen? We're in a spiritual warfare, and it happens right between these two things called our ears, right? And that's where the warfare is. And we got to stand up and we got to declare God's truth. Right? And Job's response to all those negative things that his wife said and his so-called friend said was this in Job chapter 3, verse 15. And I love what he says. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. But I will maintain mine own ways before Him. Right? Though God slay me, I'm going to keep trying. No, it doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to keep my trust in God. I'm going to maintain my ways before Him. I'm going to keep praying to Him. I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm not going to disappear and go in hiding. I'm still going to give. I'm still going to serve. I'm going to keep my faith in God. Amen? Though He slay me, I will still trust in Him and serve Him. Amen? Listen, if you're going through a hard time today, if you're going through some stresses today, then let's just reach out to God. And let's get our mind thinking right. Let's receive God's word into our minds, into our hearts. Words that help us, right? Words that lift us up. Amen? Do you agree with that? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Father, as we leave this place today, help us not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word. Help us to take captive all these negative thoughts and make them line up to God's word for my life. Thank you, Jesus. I've got a prayer that I've written out for myself. Do you want to say this prayer with me? Do you want to say this prayer for yourself? Let's say this prayer. You ready? Say this out loud. Father God, help me to choose my thoughts rather than live by my feelings. And that's not loud enough. Father God, help me to choose my thoughts rather than live by my feelings. I boldly declare I will not be stressed out. I can put on my helmet of salvation every day. I choose to dwell upon, I choose to think upon your words, your ways, every day. I have the power to activate that power. I declare, I will not be stressed out. I am more than a conqueror. And if you agree that, with that, say amen. Amen. If you agree with that, let's give God a thank offering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stress does not have to overcome us. We can overcome our stress. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We just keep your heads bowed for a minute, just a couple minutes. Maybe you're someone, you're here today, and you've never made this decision to receive Jesus into your life, into your heart. You know, Romans says, in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved. God wants you to give you an incredible gift called the gift of eternal life, of salvation, right? And this morning, if you never accepted God's promises for your life, He's waiting for you to accept them, to receive them into your heart. And today, God wants to give you this, His peace. Jesus said, listen, when you receive me into your heart, you're going to have peace. My peace. It's a peace that the world can't give you. It only comes when I come into your life, into your heart. God wants to give you peace. God wants to give you joy of knowing that you have eternal life. And God wants to give you a brand new start here on earth, right now, a new start in life. The Bible calls it being born again. If you've never received Christ into your heart, you can see it is very simple, but I promise you it'll be the most powerful prayer you will ever pray in your life. This will change everything in your destiny, in your future. If you've never received Christ, repeat after me these words. Let's invite Him into your heart by saying, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe You suffered on the cross to pay for my sins. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. Today, I invite You into my life. I invite You into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life forever. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And A.